I want you to understand something before we even start here. I don't think you're cute.
This DJ's gig hit the wrong notes.
Two of you were getting married. You hired the defendant to do DJ services. Is your claim that he ruined the wedding?
Can the judge make him change his tune?
You didn't get there until after the ceremony.
Yes.
Some of your guests viewed his conduct as being either high or drunk.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Micah Schwartz and Christina Word are suing DJ Frank Elms for the return of money they paid for his services at their wedding.
Order. All rise. This is case number 127 on the count of the matter of Schwartz, Word versus Elms. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Have a seat, please.
Mr. Elms, I want you to understand something before we even start here. I don't think you're cute.
Thank you, ma'am.
This is what the case is about. Two of you were getting married. You hired the defendant to do DJ services for the wedding. You paid him. I think you paid him $500. Is that correct?
Correct.
Did you give him any more money than the $500?
No.
No. And is your claim that he ruined the wedding, he didn't arrive in time, he didn't arrive when he was supposed to, when he did arrive, he was banging around the wedding, made noise setting up during the ceremony, didn't do anything that you had discussed with him on the phone, but mostly he was disruptive and came late. So you want him to be responsible for a whole bunch of things in addition to wanting your money back?
Right.
Correct.
And Mr. Elms says there was traffic. It's Los Angeles. It's not an excuse.
Yes, dear.
Hmm?
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. Now, what time were you supposed to be contractually at the wedding?
I was supposed to be playing music at 3 o'clock.
So the wedding was from 3 p.m.
till 9 o'clock at night.
And is this your profession, Mr. Elms?
I've been a DJ since 81.
How long, then, does it take you to set up your equipment? And I want you to know that I've had DJs at many functions.
Yes, ma'am.
Some of whom have been in business even longer than you have. So I do have, based upon my own experience, some idea of how long a professional needs to set up prior to being ready in place.
Yes, ma'am.
So how long do you give yourself to set up and be ready in place?
Well, I would usually take longer, like I was planning on being there an hour earlier than I was, but I have digital equipment.
I'm speaking.
Excuse me.
So you were planning on giving yourself 1 hour?
Yes, ma'am.
Which means you would have arrived at 2 o'clock. Yes. Now, when I cut you off, you said, however, I had other equipment.
No, I was going to say it was digital equipment, so that when I plug it in and push the button, the power comes up and it's on, and the amplified speakers just need to be connected, is what I was going to say.
What time did you arrive at the ceremony?
3:10. I had music up by 3:15.
No. You were supposed to be playing music
at
by 3 o'clock.
Yes,
that's my question. And I said, what time did you arrive?
And I said 3:10.
So you arrived an hour and 10 minutes late.
Yes, ma'am.
According to your own calculations. What time was your ceremony?
3 p.m.
Do you have a written contract with him?
I do not.
If I may, I set up a itinerary for him, which I provided.
Do you have a copy of that itinerary?
We do.
I'd like to see it.
If you go into the...
Sure. I'm not reading this whole thing. Right now, I'm just asking you for the would you give that back to them? I'm asking you for the itinerary that you provided to Mr. Elms with regard to the run of show.
I'll pull it out.
Well, this is clear, even the one that you gave me, sir. While you indicated here, wanted to send a flexible itinerary, which is in parens, which is what you outlined, they wanted the ceremony from 3 to 3:30.
That's it.
Yes.
And you didn't get there until after the ceremony.
Yes.
You have to give them their money back.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Now, when I read your case, and ordinarily that would be the end of discussion, you would get your money back. You indicated in your complaint that the defendant disappeared during periods of time, and there's a suggestion here that some of your guests viewed his conduct as being either high or drunk. Do you drink?
No.
Do you take any prescribed medication?
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any of those guests here?
Yes.
Who want to testify to that point? Were you there?
I was there.
Did you witness any behavior that you...
I didn't witness that type of behavior, no.
Fine. And you?
No.
No. Okay.
We have other witnesses that are here, though.
I'd like to hear them.
Okay.
Want to tell Officer Byrd who they are?
Cindy Buffo and Haley Crossley. They came with us.
Go straight down that aisle.
Okay. Would you swear the witnesses, Bert?
Sure. Ladies, raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth in these matters?
Yes.
State your name for the record, please.
My name is Haley Crossley.
And yours, ma'am?
My name is Cindy Buffo.
Thank you.
Were you both present at the wedding?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did either of you observe the defendant's conduct during the wedding?
Yes.
You want to tell me what you observed and at approximately what time you observed that conduct?
Yes, around dinner time, which was 5:30, 5:45. I made multiple song requests, which were...
Just a minute, you made multiple song requests. How did you make those requests?
Oh, I just asked them, can you play the song or check if you have it? And those requests were blatantly disregarded. And I just got a kind of like a nod, and just as like talking to a wall, basically. And I did go at multiple times, and none of my song requests were fulfilled.
Okay, thank you. Sit down.
Hi. And then she, my daughter, who's Krista, who's not here today, Haley...
Don't tell me what your daughter did. I'm asking you only what you observed or any discussions that you had with the defendant.
Okay. Haley had come up to me when I was sitting there to ask me to go...
Who did?
Haley. To ask me to please go ask him to do some songs for the kids because he was disregarding them and they felt very uncomfortable. So then I got up to go speak to him. He looked at me dumbfounded and... chose.
No, tell me what you said to him.
I said, the girls are coming up to you, asking you for certain songs that they would like you to play so they can dance to. And he just basically didn't say anything to me, just was staring at me as if he wasn't there. And so therefore, I said, can you please play something for them? And then the next minute, he wasn't there for about 20 minutes.
Okay. If I may,
have a seat.
I spent a lot of time on the music selection. I provided so much information on this itinerary, and none of it was played. Not only that, my six-year-old daughter, who was walking down and trying to be, you know, when they do the announcements of the bridesmaids, my six-year-old daughter made up this dance. She practiced to this dance for days and days and days, only for him to go up to her right as we're being announced. I'm sorry, honey, we don't have that music. How about I play another song for you?
I don't know what's wrong with him, but I certainly would have suspected that something was wrong. Did you ever meet him in person?
Yes.
Yes, before. Well, then you don't have a good nose. You get your money back. You get your money back. Yeah. Judge him for the plaintiff in the amount of $500. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
From the moment by not showing up on time, which was reiterated many, many times prior.
I did come in late.
And the importance of our wedding to show up on time.
Yes, I feel like they deserved what they got.
Not only that, he was a friend. And unfortunately, that fell to the wayside.
DJ'd a beautiful wedding. They had a great time.
He didn't do anything we asked.
Everybody danced.
The bridesmaids were to be announced along with herself. She was to do a dance.
The baby danced for hours.
For everyone, and she wasn't able to do it.
Everything was great.
I think the main reason why we did this is that so this doesn't happen to anybody else.
Whatever she thinks.
Don't hire a friend.
No good deed goes unpunished.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the manner of Montana versus Thorne. Step forward.
Andrew Montana is suing his former father-in-law, Bobby Thorne, for an unpaid loan to buy a car.
Mr. Montana, Are you currently legally married to the defendant's daughter?
No, I am not.
When were you divorced?
We separated and divorced November of 2012.
Was the divorce finalized?
Yes, it's finalized.
In November of 2012?
Earlier in this year, it's finalized.
Tell me when the divorce was finalized.
It was finalized February.
Show me.
I don't have the divorce paperwork with me.
Well, that's going to be a problem for you, so let me tell you what the case is about, Mr. Montown.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Who is this young lady?
That's my girlfriend.
What is she doing here?
She's a witness.
To what?
To this case, the text messages that I have.
She was a witness to the text message? Do you have the text messages?
Yes, I do.
So what do you need her for?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Andrew Montana says his former father-in-law, Bobby Thorne, owes for a loan to buy a car.
Now, according to you, your now ex-father-in-law came to you, needed money for something, a car or something. And you agreed, while you were married to his daughter...
Yes.
...to extend a loan. You were married to his daughter for how long?
12 years.
You have children?
Yes, I do.
With his daughter?
Yes, I do.
How many?
Two.
Did you have a contested or an uncontested divorce?
I would say it would be uncontested. We didn't even have to go to court.
But you had to list your children's names?
Yes.
And who would have custody?
Yes.
And whether there was any alimony?
Yes.
And whether there was any child support?
Correct.
And what the marital assets were?
Correct.
And what the marital liabilities were?
Yes.
And you did all that?
Yes.
You see, Mr. Montana, any debt that is incurred during the course of a marriage becomes a marital debt. Any asset that is acquired during the course of a marriage here in the state of California, which is where you live, correct?
That's correct.
Is a marital asset. If somebody owes you money, that's an asset of the marriage, because you and your wife in this state are assumed, unless you have a prenuptial agreement, to have only joint money. So let us assume I find that it's a loan, because he says it was a gift. Let us assume I find in your favor that it was a loan. It's not your loan. It's your loan and your former wife's loan. Now, you understood that before you even came here.
Our divorce agreement, we have split up all our assets, and none of this loan was not mentioned.
Well, that doesn't mean, sir, that doesn't mean that you did it right. But you had an opportunity to list it as a marital asset, a loan that you extend to somebody else, whether your father-in-law or to a stranger. The repayment of that is an asset of the marriage. So the fact that you chose not to list it as a marital asset is your problem. Doesn't mean you keep going on and on and on and on and on. He could just as easily have said, instead of his defense as a gift, well, I did borrow money from my son-in-law and daughter, and I gave her back her half, and I'm more than happy to give him back his half. But he should have listed it in the divorce. Now, you understood that when you did those papers.
Well, I just thought I was going to get the money paid back to me.
That's not my question, Mr. Montana.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
What did your wife do with her money?
Well, she worked mainly out of the home, making approximately $30,000 a year.
What did she do with her money?
She would spend it on herself.
I don't believe you, Mr. Montana.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Andrew Montana says his former father-in-law, Bobby Thorne, owes for a loan to buy a car.
My question to you was, you thought about it at the time you filled out the papers.
Obviously, I did not.
Oh, well. By the way, who is this young lady?
That's my girlfriend.
What is she doing here?
She's a witness.
To what?
To this case, the text messages that I have.
She was a witness to the text message? Do you have the text messages?
Yes, I do.
So what do you need her for? I just want to know what she's here, other than just to be an irritant to your ex-father-in-law. I want to know what value she brings to the case.
I have explained the value she brought to the case.
Great. Okay. Now, Mr. Thorne, how much money did Mr. Montana give you?
$2,000.
Did you pay any back?
After a lot of harassment and bullying. Yes, I did pay.
Well, how much did you pay back?
I've paid $400.
And when Mr. Montana made this exchange of money with you, was your daughter living in the home with him?
Yes.
Was she ever employed outside the home?
Employed outside the home?
Did she ever work outside of the home?
Yes, she did.
And what did she do?
She's an accountant.
So she worked?
Yes.
Just so I can put a period on this and send Mr. Montana on his way, do you know from your own knowledge how your daughter and Mr. Montana divided the financial responsibilities? Did they have a joint bank account?
I have no idea, Your Honor.
Did you have a joint bank account? Very easy to find out, sir.
No, we did not.
Joint bank, savings, or anything?
Nothing joint.
Did you own a home together?
Yes.
Well, that's joint. Who paid the mortgage on the house?
I paid 100% of the mortgage every month.
And what did your wife do with her money?
Well, she worked mainly out of the home, making approximately $30,000 a year.
What did she do with her money?
She would spend it on herself.
I don't believe you, Mr. Montana. If she spent it on herself, that means she spent it as your wife on herself and her children, on her clothes, on her hair.
On also on... probably the children.
Right. So the answer is, your money was pooled. She spent some of her money on the family. You spent some of your money on the family. So you did not make this loan with your money to the defendant if it was a loan.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Are you in a family dispute? Go to judgejudy.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter.
Now, I think that the matter, instead of sending you all back and making another court get involved with this kind of situation, let me tell you what they would have to do. If he wanted this money, he would have to move to open up the divorce decree and say, I left something out, this marital asset. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Which you say you paid back $400. He says you paid back $300. I'm going to take his word that you paid back $300, leaving $1,700, because you were a little bit wishy-washy with the $400. So they would have to go back to court and move to open up this judgment of divorce and say, I have this asset that I forgot. Could you please deal with this asset? And let me tell you what the court would do. The court would say, fine. Half of $1,700 is yours, and half of $1,700 belongs to your daughter. That's what the court would do. Now, if everybody consents to that, I am prepared if everybody consents, and that would have to be with your consent as well. I would be just as happy to do that here. Or you can go back, sir, and you can seek to try to convince somebody else that this $1,700 was solely your money in the state of California, where everything is split down the middle. What's your pleasure? Tell me I'm losing patience.
I am suing for the $1,700, which I considered my money out of my account.
I understand what you're suing for. I'm asking you a question. Either I'm going to dismiss the case without prejudice, you go back to the Supreme Court, you get nothing, or I'm prepared to give you half of it because that's exactly what it is. It's a marital asset, an asset that was acquired during the course of the marriage, which is a debt that's owed by somebody else to the marriage, money that's owed to the marriage. What's your pleasure, sir? I'm prepared.
So you're preparing to give me $850
in judgment? That's absolutely correct.
I accept that.
Good. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $850. Your daughter gets the other half, sir. Take care of your daughter.
Excuse me, step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Well, he asked me for it, and he said he had a job, but all he needed was a car.
Well, it was basically a known fact. I was unemployed.
So, thinking if he's getting a job, I can lend him a couple $1,000.
I wasn't working at all. My unemployment benefits basically ran out.
And he can pay me back $100 a month, which was the agreement. That's less than $4 a day.
Oh, he threatened me. He basically to beat me up.
I'm gonna plead the fifth on that.
Or blow up my car.
I was angry when I was on a phone conversation with him.
It was a strong arm tactic.
And it came down to the point where he said, well, why don't you just sue me?
I'm glad to see my daughter's going to get some money.
When he said that, it did get me quite upset, and I decided to sue him.
Hopefully I will not have any more relationship with the plaintiff.
He's a nice guy, but our relationship would be over at this point.